And welcome to episode 5 of Studio 526M. This is the inaugural episode where I bring on co-hosts onto the show, and all of our planning is now finished. This is your host, Professor Michael Harper from Utah Valley University in the Digital Media Program, along with my new co-host, Jaron Pulver. How are you today, Jaron?
I'm great. Good to be with you.
Most excellent. We're going to be hearing from you quite a bit here in just a minute. On this episode, we thought we would we'd do some fun things as usual. Segment 1, Jaron's going to be enlightening us on wearable products, specifically Android wearables and the could be beloved. It depends on which side of the fence you're on, right, Jaron?
Yes.
Apple Watch, and we'll be interested to see what he has to say on that. In my segment, segment 2, we're going to be talking about the recent brouhaha that has been over on iTunes with the recent free album from U2. Yes, I don't want to get into all the, you know, they're invading my space, etc., from the point of view of iTunes people, but from the user experience design side of things and how, well, I'm not going to spoil it, but we're going to be talking deep UXD. And we also have a Trimology. But before we get to any of all of this, first of all, we have sponsors. Digital Media Program here at Utah Valley University, where, of course, I am employed, and I very much like what I do here, and get to work with some great students. So if you're looking at pursuing a career in digital media, have a look at what we do. And for all of our students, hello. We really appreciate all of you. And also to our friends over at Bluehost, who not only support the show, but provide a great deal for our students. Students all over the world, but our students are doing a lot with their portfolios, their online portfolios, and they get a great deal through Bluehost, so we really appreciate them. And, of course, as always, we start off with our wonderful newsstand topic, and so that's going to be Jaron's first item of the agenda and the first time on the show. So, Jaron, take away on newsstand.
Hot in the presses is the new iPhone 6 Plus bending. I don't know about you, but my smartphone does not bend, and which I think is absolutely hilarious. This is ridiculous with Apple. Their new iPhone 6 Pluses are bending, and I absolutely love the tweets coming from the Android platforms. HTC said in their recent tweets, designed to withstand the most demanding environments, like your pockets. Absolutely hilarious as well. LG, our phone doesn't bend, it flexes on purpose. And Samsung, curved, not bent. I think this is a pretty huge news right now. This is a huge factor for many people, many Apple fans that have waited so long to get their new iPhone 6 Plus, and now it's bending. So I'm kind of curious of our listeners. Does this affect you? Does this affect you buying an iPhone 6 Plus or even an iPhone 6? I think definitely, in my opinion, it should. This is something that I think Apple needs to address and hopefully fix. So show us on Facebook and comment and see and let us know what you think on this topic. All right, talking smartwatches now. So let's talk a little bit where we're at right now.
And what if I say that I'm already an Apple fanatic?
Oh my gosh, of course you are. Of course you're on that bandwagon.
I held my tongue on newsstand.
Oh gosh.
Just saying.
So, like I said, let's talk about right now what's in play. What do we have? Of course, we have the Android Wear smartwatches. Motorola, LG, Samsung have all released Android Wear devices. And I got myself a Moto 360. I got one. It's awesome.
Sporting on your wrist right now.
You can't tell me this isn't beautiful.
No, it's cool.
It is.
It's cool. I like them very much.
And of course, we have the Apple Watch. Got to call it the Apple Watch, not the iWatch or iTime, whatever. They just released that at announced it at their keynote. And so I watched the keynote, which I thought was kind of interesting. It was a one more thing, one last thing kind of a thing. And I don't know. I don't know if it was when I watched it and they showed the video of it, I was like, this is Apple's watch? Come on.
Was it because it's too much like everyone else's?
No, it's just this big. It's thick. It's just bulky on your watch. It doesn't look like Apple product.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think, first of all, here's one of my first impressions is that they announced it, but there's still a long time before they get this thing released. First part, they said at least the first quarter of 2015. There's a lot of time to do final refinements and software. And I think, again, for Apple, most of this stuff is about software and having lots of developers on board. And so I think Apple played it safe. Because it was kind of like, hey, this is what everyone else is doing. This is kind of what we're doing. And one thing that does make it a little bit bulkier, and most people need to realize this, it has the sensors on the bottom that take care of a whole lot of things for HealthKit. And we didn't get a real in-depth view of that, but we know that it's there. So I think they played it absolutely safe.
Yeah. So that kind of leads me to a topic of what is our smartwatches need? What do they need to be doing? What's their functions? What are the main features that a smartwatch needs to have? Does it need to have an ability to text? I know that's a huge part right now in the Android Wear. Are we developing keyboards for this? And I noticed that the Apple Watch has an ability to text and have different communications with each other. And so, you know, what does our smartwatches need to have on them?
Texting on a smartwatch is not a good way to go. Here's probably the biggest issue, Jaron, is that everyone's having to redefine input.
Yeah.
They're having to figure out we have touchable things. That's not the issue. Take, for example, Apple, and they were looking specifically at the design of the watch, and they asked, is there something that we can keep on this watch that has been on a watch for many, many, many years, over 100 plus years, right? A couple centuries. And there's that dial. That's the one cool thing that I really like about the Apple Watch is this dial thing. Instead of trying to do everything touch, it's taking something that's already there and something that people recognize is there and using that instead of always having to touch the watch because your finger does get in the way. These are small interfaces. So whether it's Android, whether it's Apple, Microsoft will be in this space very shortly. Yeah. They've been True. Behind on everything thus far, but you know, they'll get there. And the question is, how are we going to use input services on these small wearables? It's a tough nut to crack. I mean, sorry, it is not the same as a phone.
It's not. Yeah, so talking a little bit about that, and one thing you mentioned with the dial, you get precise changes on your phone, on your smartwatch. And I, with my Moto 360, I have noticed that is kind of hard. If you want to get precise movements, precise gestures, it's pretty difficult. And at the same time, voice search works really well, and being able to text with your voice, which they're taking a huge advantage of right now. And I at the same time, I think Android is so ahead of the game, so ahead of the game. There's so many apps right now. I was looking on the App Store, not the App Store, looking at Google Play Store, and there's so many things that you can add to your watch right now. And so I'm hoping that Apple can catch up. And that's why they, you know, announced it. And so developers can kind of get their hands on it. But right now, I think they're a little behind on wearables.
Well, and I think that's on purpose. Take iPod, you know, the iPod, original iPod. And remember in class, we talked about this. Yeah. How many of you guys remember the original MP3 player, Rio? And everyone's like, I never heard of that. It's because Apple destroyed them. No, they're not going to destroy Android. That's not going to happen. But these companies don't have to always be the first. Samsung was the first to come out with these watches. And that was a disaster, as far as I'm concerned. I hated their first Android Gear watch. I think it was a terrible design. I think it was a terrible implementation of software. Interface-wise, everything. It's just, I was like, okay, but you got to start somewhere. And Apple was not willing to be the first one out. And they've been working on this for years. You know they have. The question is, how is the market going to respond? What can it bear? Recession, no recession. There's a lot of factors that come into this. And there's parts too. People don't realize it takes a lot of parts and a lot of development to get all these things built. So even if you have something, you still have to get the supply chain in your favor. And Apple has a lot of that, but there's a lot of factors. So when someone says, oh, well, Samsung came out with it first. Yeah, they manufacture about 80% of all the parts that go into the watch. So it would make sense that they come out with it. That's my take.
Yeah. Brings me into another point is pricing. They released their prices, well, announced it, that it's going to, the Apple Watch is going to start at $350. When I heard that, my jaw dropped. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, but are people going to pay it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they're going to pay
no.
it. How many people are buying iPhones?
I know. Those are expensive as well.
Well, yeah, but have they ever had a sale?
No, never.
So, you know, they have never had a sale. So, you know, people will bash that and say, oh, well, you know, you bunch of Apple fanatics, you know, you're just a bunch of sheep. Fine. I'm a sheep that happens to have a great phone that I really love and I paid for it. Well, you know, that's me. It really comes down to is that Apple has that market and they will never go to the low end market. It's just Econ 101. You can't be high end and also the low cost leader at the same time. So someone's going to have to fill those gaps.
So,
and you didn't fire back at me on that.
I don't think people are going to pay $350 for a watch. And right now you only have, you know, if you have an Android phone, you have to get an Android watch. And that's how it works with Apple. It's not a single device of a watch. You buy a watch and it can work with Android. You know, you have to buy whatever your phone is. And it'll be interesting to see how many they sell in the first.
Well, let's
see.
In the first. Come on. Hey, I'm just making a point here. In the first week with the release of the iPhone, there were over 10 million phones that were sold.
How many are bent? That's the question.
The question is how many are bent? The question is how many other phablets that are out there, we can get to that term later on, have also bent. I remember others bending as well, you know, over the past couple, 3 years. So the point though is that they'll sell. There's no question they'll sell. Yeah. And they'll refine it as they move along. Everyone has to have a strategy. I think the greater question though is where are we headed in the long term with our wearables? Everyone's going to have a watch, fine. The question is, how are we going to craft these things to influence our lives? And everyone's like, oh, it's going to become like 100% voice command. Oh, so I'm in a meeting and I have to voice command my watch. Really? No, that's not going to happen. It's people like us in digital media who are doing user experience design, doing UX, UI, and really trying to figure out how are these things going to empower us and how are these things going to connect?
So we're wrapping up a little bit on the smartwatches, but I'll hopefully eventually I can do a review of my new Moto 360 because
yes,
I love it. I can't stop watching or looking at it in my classes. But really popular right now, the whole smartwatches, and we'd love to hear your take on them and the possibilities. Are you going to buy one or not, or are you waiting? And you know, kind of what's your game plan as far as buying a smartwatch in the future?
And now it's time for Termology, one of my favorite things on the show. What is today's term? It happens to be the word lapability. Now, what is lapability? To define it, it means the ability and measurement as per the ease of use of a device on a lap. Sounds easy enough, right? A device may include a laptop, portable device such as a Surface Pro 3, or even a tablet such as an iPad Air. Now, I happened to hear this while I was watching the announcement for the Surface Pro 3, and they were talking about lapability. No one had ever kind of heard that term. At least the majority of the people there hadn't heard that term before, and they had to explain it. I mean, think about it. How easy is it for us to use a device on our lap? And it goes into the mechanics of the hardware, the design of such things as a kickstand on the Surface Pro 3. And does it sit well? Does it function well in our hands? Does it make it easy for us to utilize that device? So next time you have your laptop or a device and you're putting it on your lap, think about lapability. Is it really true? Okay, this is segment two, and this is all about U2. That kind of rhymed, didn't it, Jaren? That's pretty cool.
That was good.
So we're talking about the huge brouhaha that happened over at iTunes. How did we get all this iTunes Apple bash?
Yeah, we're
for
just
this
bashing.
Today?
This
you know
is
what?
Great. This
you,
is, we got to keep this
you
going.
Solved it. You're the one that caused it, actually, not yeah. solved it. Anyway, so U2 and Apple at the big event where the Apple Watch was also demonstrated. Ugh. They said they're going to give away the entire U2 album, which is the first of its kind, biggest release, etc. They said, we're going to give it to all of our iTunes subscribers and users. And they did. I was right there. I was watching as soon as they said that. You know, this is my childhood high school
download.
Band. And I'm going, okay, download, down. And of course, it's not ready yet. It's got to go out through their co-location services. And I'm going, okay, click, 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 click. Not coming down. Finally, it comes down, and I'm like right on it. Okay, I'm probably pretty proud of this. At least customer number 10. Okay, and it pops down, and I'm listening to it, and lo and behold, 2 days later, 2 days. That's all it took, and people are freaking out because all of a sudden you go to this site called whoisu2.com, and you got all these tweets of people like, "Who the heck is U2?" and you know, just F this and F that, and they're downloading it onto my machine and on my phone, and screw that. And I'm just going, first of all, use proper English, okay? Quit with all of the swear words and everything else, because it makes you look really bad. And number two is they're taking screenshots of their phone, on their iPhone, and they're going, what's up with this? It's downloaded onto my machine. And it hasn't. What Apple did is they put it into your purchases as a no charge. And when it's inside your purchases, all you have to do is download. And these people were actually posting this stuff from their iCloud services. And there's the little cloud with the little arrow. Ladies and gentlemen, that means download. It doesn't mean it's an auto download. I tried it on 12 of our devices here just to see if I could get these devices to just do it automatically. Not one. Including all of my kids, including all of our machines
so
at home.
Here's my thing. Was that the right way to do it?
Well, whether it was the right way or not, the first thing is, it's freaking free. Okay? And then you got some kid on there going, who the X is this? And, you know, U2. And I'm like, well, if you've been living under a rock, right, then you don't know who U2 is.
Yeah,
seriously.
But at the same time, it's like, why is Apple putting this crap on our iTunes?
Okay, then fighting words. U2 is crap.
Well,
okay.
Yeah,
let me help you out.
No.
Let me help you out here.
We're gonna listen to some now.
We're gonna
pick,
we'll bring it up here.
I think you played this during one of our classes.
Actually, I did play it in class just because I wanted to make sure.
I was looking for earplugs at that point.
No. Okay, I will go into my music here. Let's just put in a little background stuff. Awesome song right here, Every Breaking Wave. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
isn't
gosh.
That just nice?
Okay, they have a few good songs, but I don't want their whole album on my iTunes.
I'm just letting it soak in there, Jaren.
Oh, God.
Just letting it go. Isn't that nice? I like it.
This
See?
One's not bad.
Here
this
comes.
One's not bad.
Here comes.
Are we going to get a solo by you?
I could. I've listened to it enough. I think I got like 52 plays on this already. Okay.
This is old music.
No, it's not. It's brand new, good stuff. So the idea here is, should they have done it differently? Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly done
Absolutely.
It differently.
Absolutely.
But was it that big of a deal that people had to have such an uproar? No. I think that's one of our problems. We discussed the 99-cent app in class as well. We've got to this point where, because Apple offered 99-cent downloads for applications, now if it's $4, that's too much. My gosh, I can't afford 99 cents.
Just
and
go to
$4
Spotify.
Is too
just,
much. Come on.
Just go to Spotify.
No, I'm talking about an app. I mean, Apple's created this environment where 99-cent apps is the norm, and if it's $2, it's too much. I mean, it's crazy. So, first of all, it's free, and I think people need to chill a little bit. Could they have done it differently? Yes, they could have done it differently, and I can think of at least three or four ways to do that. But here's my point, okay? Not just the fact it was a big uproar. In terms of user experience design, we can put all of our best efforts into our design, our processes, the procedures, everything from point A, from concept, all the way to delivery. And there is a point where we're going to miss a certain segment of society, and they're going to be mad no matter what we do. Whether they just fail to understand how to use something just because they can't figure it out, or they think differently than a designer does, But there's always that percentage. In this case, it was a very large percentage.
Huge.
but the idea, though, is that in UXD, we will never be able to hit 100%. Most of the time, we'll be lucky if we get 60% that are happy with what we've done as a design. We could go over the Google Play Store, for example. The Microsoft Store on my Windows phone, for example.
Is that what it's called, Microsoft
Store? It's a Microsoft Store.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, I don't know what they're calling it this week. They, you know, change everything. We got SkyDrive. Now it's something else. So the idea, though, is that in Microsoft's case, it was terrible. And it's still a very bad-looking store. Now, I have a Windows phone. I'm fine with it. I actually like the Windows phone. But, my gosh, the store is a disaster. And even if they put all that effort into the design, and it turned out beautiful, there's still going to be a group of people in a fairly large percentage that will rebel and that will not like it. So I guess the lesson from all of this to our students is, while we get off and really get into some of these conversations and everything else, it should help us reflect as digital media majors, especially in interaction and design. We need to be aware of what the market will bear and just be accepting that we're going to get nailed by a certain percentage,
yeah,
regardless.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think one thing that in this case Apple did right was give option. They gave an option to download it. And I think that played a huge role. Especially when we do our UX design, are we giving options? Are we taking every user in consideration? And I think Apple does a really good job at that.
Well, one of the other things then that comes up to mind is a lot of these people just don't know how to use their software. Is that a problem that Apple needs to fix? I think their software is very easy to use. I know how to delete things and ignore stuff in my iTunes. But evidently, there's a large percentage of people who don't know how to do that. And a matter of fact, even some of the professors here, they're like, gosh, I didn't know I could do that. So that means that Apple, Android, Windows, from Microsoft, it's a game. I mean, we have to constantly be going back and forth, double checking. Are we being clear? Do people know how to use the applications that we supply? Because a lot of those options were already there, but people exploded because they didn't know how to use their software is really what it came down to.
Yeah, Apple is so good at that. And it surprises me that a lot of people are complaining about this issue with U2 is... they do such a good job at making things simple. And I think that's why a lot of people are switching to iPhones and switching to Mac platforms, because it is so simple. But at the same time, we need to continue to make things more simple for people.
Definitely. And that's on all platforms. And that's one of the things that as developers and designers, that's our job. And that's why you're here, is to learn those things. So anyway, I thought it was a great story, and it brings out a lot of passion in us Apple, Android, Microsoft, Windows folks, right? Passion. We like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, just consider that, ladies and gentlemen. You'll never be able to hit everybody in terms of your user experience design.
People
someone's
always
going to find a reason to complain. Okay, well, that does it for episode 5, our actual inaugural episode, and the first episode for one of my 3 new co-hosts, Jaron.
It's been great. It's been a pleasure.
Good. Yeah, it's been fun.
Shout out to all my Android users.
Yeah.
Love you.
A little bit of passion here in the old 526M office. Our sponsors, again, are Digital Media from Utah Valley University, where we work and learn, right? As well as Bluehost. Next episode, we'll have another set of great topics to cover. So we hope that you'll enjoy that when it comes out next week. And as we get going on the show too, and this is again is our inaugural episode, we invite you to go over to Facebook. If you are actually listening to this on an iPhone that's not bent, or an iPad, or inside of iTunes, you are recognizing that this is an enhanced episode podcast, and that you can actually click and go right out to Facebook. We also invite you to go out to Twitter, and the handles there are just Studio526M, or go to Studio526M on Facebook and start participating. Our website will be up and going here in the next couple, 3 weeks. officially. And but we want you guys to begin to participate with us, and things will get really clean from here on out as we get everyone adjusted to speaking into a microphone and having a good time. And if we can keep Anthony Romrell from speaking too loud out in the hallway, we'll be doing a great job. And so from all of us here at Studio 526M, have a great day, and we hope to hear from you online.
The world is spinning fast tonight. You can hurt yourself trying to hold on. So glad the past is all gone. Be now.